When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Our guest today is the rock star of resilience, the maestro of mental mastery, and is certified in bouncing back. She wrote the book on bouncing back. Darlene Santori, better known as Coach Dar, an amazing motivational speaker, former Phoenix Suns mental health coach, and just all around amazing person. Her energy is absolutely contagious. I'm excited to have her here. What is going on, Coach Dar?
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
Before we continue, we need your help. We'd like to reach more like-minded people just like you and share our knowledge on personal growth, health, and success. So can you do us a favor and in your podcast app, hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star review and leave us an encouraging comment. Do it right now while you listen to this episode. That will help us know you're listening and that you care, and a little action will help us reach more folks. Now back to our show. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Manhood Experiment. Today, we got a special treat. I have been genuinely pumped up for this conversation. Our guest today is the rock star of resilience, the maestro of mental mastery, and is certified in bouncing back. She wrote the book on bouncing back better, bouncing back faster. Darlene Santori, better known as Coach Dar, is a licensed board certified occupational therapist, an amazing motivational speaker, former Phoenix Suns mental health coach, and just all around amazing person. Just had a recent book that she put out, the new best-selling book, The Art of Bouncing Back. Her energy is absolutely contagious. I'm excited to have her here. Darlene, what is going on, Coach Dar?
Oh, man, I'm so psyched that we get to do this together. This is awesome. I've been waiting all day for this.
Oh, no, I've been thrilled. It's been too long since we have gotten to catch up. I jumped in to listen to some of your interviews and catch up and see where you've been. And it literally brought a big smile to my face, ear to ear. And I was reminded why you're such a special person. And I'm treasured to be able to have you in my life.
You too, brother.
I know we got some fun stuff for the listeners today. You know, who doesn't love a comeback story? We got a few of those here.
It's like the 30 for 30s.
It is. Yeah. I can't get enough of that stuff. And all these untold series. I can't get enough of
so
all these.
So good.
So I've had the privilege of knowing you for, gosh, about 10 years.
For sure.
Which is really cool to think about. And mm-hmm. I know that I've always been extremely grateful for your belief and support in anything that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. I know that we've always had a lot of stimulating conversations, you know, at least mm-hmm. on the receiving end from
Ditto.
From my side. And mm-hmm. that's what this podcast is all about. And so I'm really excited to have you on, dive into your story. And I'm excited to talk about your book. It's an amazing, amazing, beautiful book, very well put together, and I'm just genuinely thrilled for the world to have it. But how you doing? What's going on?
Oh man, it's been good. This book is, I've been on this book tour, so I've been literally from our motherland, Italy, to
yeah.
all over and sharing these stories of like building mental resiliency and sharing the message of, you know, people often think like I have to work on my mental skills when something happens. And I'm trying to say like, no, get your mental grit and build your resiliency like now. So when it hits, you're that much stronger. And that's been like the premise of this whole book tour and why I wrote it.
I love it. I love it. I'm sure it's been a wild ride. I know just from trying to link up, you know, get our schedules in sync. I know we've been talking about this for a few months.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You've been on a mission spreading.
Yeah.
Spreading the good word. And it's exciting. And I can genuinely say from reading the book, I think it's amazing. I want to get into that before we'll touch a little bit about the story. But the book, just the way that it's put together with all the tools and the principles, how it just works, it really does come full circle.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I think there's a lot of actionable tips that we'll be able to leave people with. I know we've had some awesome conversations. I'm looking forward just to putting you on the spot, asking you some questions. You're like my own personal, I think, Dr. Sharon from Ted Lasso, you know, that they had on board, which that's been one of my favorite shows. I've talked about it here.
Me too.
On the pod a handful of times. But starting out with that, I wanted to touch on something that, and I don't know if maybe it's just in my sphere or my world, but I feel like you're seeing a lot of growth around the conversation around mental health and yes. self-awareness. And something like from the show Ted Lasso, where he's not just the coach, he's like the head of emotional well-being for the whole team. And in the show, they have this really key character, Dr. Sharon, and she mm-hmm. is the therapist, the no-nonsense sports psychologist. But have you noticed that? Because before you, me getting to know you and your role as a mental skills coach,
yeah,
have you noticed a bigger growth in that demand for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I joked around just sharing with a buddy. I said, you know, I've been in this world for a long time. I started out my career helping people in traumatic brain injury, and my whole background's neuroscience and neuropsychology, like helping people overcome the most extreme odds, especially neurologically, like mindset. So then when I started my own private practice, gosh, I don't even know, maybe 15 years ago, the private practice, Jason, it was literally like I was Elon Musk telling people that there were self-driving cars. Cause I'm like giving talks on mindset in like 2010 and, you know, 2008, I started 2010. I'm like really going around talking to people. I'm like, if you work on your mindset in business and in life and in sports, like you build mental edge, you're going to go further. And my father's like, what the hell are you doing? You're literally leaving a lucrative career to start your own business in a recession and no one's listening on mindset. I'm like, but they will. They will, because I knew with everything in me, honestly, even with the people that I helped, what they overcame, I was like, if I can help people with that and the challenge they have to overcome, this mental skills coaching, which is what I'm trained in, this is a no-brainer for me. But the world wasn't ready for it. I was like paving the way in that sense and what I did. So now it is everywhere. I mean, I literally just said to Wyndham Clark when I saw him a couple weeks ago, I was like, I'm so glad you talked about getting a mental skills coach because it helped his game. I mean, obviously, look at what happened. And he's like, you could thank me. I said, no, you could thank me. I'm like, I've been working on this for years.
Yep.
Joking around, but the Golf Channel talks about it. I mean, NBA, the NFL, like everywhere you go now, mindset, mental skills, mental health, it's thankfully become just a natural part of our vocabulary. And it's been needed. Like we've needed to do this.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, we're finally here, but it's taken a long damn time.
It's amazing. I have to commend you for that because you certainly, I think, helped pioneer and pave that way for a lot of people. And it's something that I think in the athletic world, you have characters like Tim Grover and and people that coach a lot of these big stars that played that type of role. But I felt like it was disguised as a coach of or a trainer of some sorts. And so people had these different types of buy-in. Mm-hmm. But I think now people don't have nearly as much shame in seeking out that help. And I think that it's something that people need, obviously, with everything that's going on with mental health more than ever. And it doesn't matter whether you're an athlete or you're somebody just trying to find your identity, working in the corporate world or whatever it is. So I want to talk about a few things when it comes to coaching and feedback. Going back briefly, I was thinking with the Ted Lasso. This is a character who, he's this uber motivational person that lifts everybody up. It's like he's got a one-liner for everything, but he struggled himself to be able to really open up. And I think that I see that there's this stigma around quote-unquote therapy or working with somebody or all these vulnerabilities and all that. And so that took him a while. And I think that that was a good example that they showcased that it's okay to open up. How do you get that buy-in? Because people come to you maybe, and initially earlier on, because you get, right now, people will refer you or they've seen you on interviews or so on. But when you get somebody who is professional or whatever they are at their level, like how do you get that buy-in or get people to open up? And I want to say, first of all, you inspire me. And I think it's easy and I could understand like, okay, yeah, I trust you. But when it comes from somebody else, yeah. I just want to give a little context there.
Yeah, especially when, say, like even a player refers another player and that player doesn't know me at all. So when I first meet them, you have to establish this bond and this trust real quick. And I've been doing this for so long that at the end of the day, I think it also comes from intention. Like I care so much about the people that I get to work with and I know their world. So I know how hard it is. So I just say, like, I sit there and I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, I'm here to come alongside you. There's nothing I haven't heard that you're going to like, I'm going to be like, what the, like, no, I promise you. And so I just kind of build this natural cadence with them and conversation. And we usually start talking about all of life. Like, I want to know your world. Like that. So then once I know your world and your life, like we're building, honestly, a friendship. And Ted Lasso, I mean, he's everyone's friend. And that's kind of, by the time someone knows you really care, and you have this friendship, so to speak, then they're like, okay, now you feel more comfortable talking. Like, I don't go in and be like, tell me the problem right now. Yep. I'm like, no, let's get to know each other. So really building the rapport and then letting them know, like, this is so normal. Everything that you're ever feeling or experienced, this human experience has been going on for a long time. You just probably weren't used to sharing. Now people are, and it's a safe space. And by getting it out, you're going to, ultimately, everyone wants to be the best. So I'll say, I promise you, by getting this out, we'll get to your greatness faster.
Ooh,
so
like
that gets them to really understand, like, if we get this out and we deal with it, you're going to get to your greatness faster. Isn't that what you want? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, let's get to it.
I love it. I think that's perfect to be able to give away your secret sauce like some people have. Obviously, you've been working on your craft and it's an art that you've been able to refine over time. But I think people know that they need this guidance, they need help, they need feedback, yet it's so rare to really get people to open up. So I like what you said right there. I think connecting it to something bigger and getting on people's level and then tying it to them reaching what they're absolutely capable of. You know, and that actually brings me to an idea I wanted to talk about. Your book dives into it a lot, is this idea around something that I think is a superpower. I think not enough people seek it out. We know we need it. We know it helps us. I'm talking about feedback, baby.
Oh, and, yeah.
And feedback is something that it's funny because I like to think that I'm secure in my beliefs and I have this level of self-awareness. Yet, depending who I hear feedback from, it can ruffle my feathers. And that's something I'm personally working on, is not allowing my feathers to be ruffled. But it's something that I think if more people were to seek it out, it would absolutely, you know, taking a term from you, it would level up their life, would raise the bar in so many different ways. But so many people have been resistant to that. So I know that's a big rant right there.
So good.
But your thought on feedback and like, it should be part of people's dietary
necessities. How you're talking like their nutrition and what they should be taking in, their fitness. Yeah. I'm talking the same way in their mental muscle. Get the feedback. So that's why I put a whole chapter on it, which was applying and seeking feedback, because I'm trying to say everyone has the chance to be a pro in their life. Whatever it is that they're doing, they have the chance to be pro level. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that happens through doing the work and refining your craft. Well, what does the pros do really well? They seek and apply feedback 24/7. Like, they're playing, they come to the bench, they're watching it on their iPad, coaches in their ear, the players in the ear, they're getting feedback and they fix it in real time. So it's not a problem later on. Mm. And what we miss in life is, in a business environment, you might get a performance review one time a year, maybe quarterly, you might get a meeting with your supervisor. And then think about it in life in general, relationships. You're just going about it, but you're not really seeking feedback. So what I want people to understand is, if the pros do this to be better, why wouldn't we? Number one. Number two is, it's uncomfortable and I totally, totally get it. That's the whole thing. Getting feedback, having the difficult conversation, saying to someone, what's it like living with me? What's it like working with me? How am I showing up today? If you were more willing to have those conversations from a trusted source, those that really have your best interest, like, we're not going to Twitter to ask this. We're asking it from those around us. But Jason, if people truly did this, relationships would be better, friendships, and you build muscle. So the reason the players are good at this is because it's a part of their everyday. Like, they just know they have to do this.
Yep.
No different than cold plunging. I love cold plunging because my body now is like, I know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you just do it. And you know how good you're going to feel. So feedback, I promise you, is like a mental muscle. When you start exposing yourself, when you put it out there, you have that hard conversation, you ask for the feedback, you become so much better. You show up better. And all that other garbage that we all fill stories with in our head goes away because you had the conversation of what you've been stirring on. You know, it's so good.
You're right. And I think as we talk about that, it's like it's giving yourself data and exposes things. Yes. I can see how some people may fear it because then you now have exposed what you need to do and what you need to work on. And I see how that can be scary for some people in everyday life or in a relationship. Let's say you ask your spouse, how would you grade me as a significant other or a partner and how I'm showing up? And I think some people are afraid based on the effort they're putting out that it's not going to be what they want to hear. And I think that we have to take inventory. We talk a lot about that on this show, is just taking inventory. And I think that it's hard to have inventory if you're not getting that feedback around you. So I wanted to touch on that. I know it's a big part of the book and we're going to get to that, but I had to bring that up because I saw how that ties in with athletes and everybody. And
it's so important. I'm so glad you brought it up.
And it's like a scary thing though, to think about it, because it's like almost anybody will give you feedback if you ask, but maybe you don't want to feel like you want to trouble somebody, or maybe like you're scared to know it.
Or let me just say this, like, say you started to do this on a weekly level, and even in your marriage or at business or with your friends, and every week it'd be like 1 to 10, how'd I show up for you?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just started there, like 1 to 10, how did I show up this week for you? How was it? And then be like, hey, it was an 8. It was awesome. Mm. And here's the thing. Maybe when it's like, you know, it was a 6, like you were distracted, I didn't feel like you were present, you'd be like, okay, let me work on that. Let me see. And then, because that's a start into getting yourself exposed to feedback, but then you're again, muscle memory and also comfort level. You're like, all right, but let me work on it. And now it becomes active. And once we make something active, it's not scary anymore because we're doing something about it.
Yep. I like that. I also, from that, I think at the same time, kind of reverse engineering, you can take that and you can say, to help improve your relationship, be it business, be it relationships, you say, well, what would make this a 10 type of thing?
Exactly.
I think by asking that, it gives you an objective. And I think as humans, we love to have something to strive for and to achieve for, and that can add some extra sweetness into life. Well, that's good. So when it comes to feedback though, a lot of people still are afraid to really let it all hang out or be vulnerable. So for the listeners here, what message could you give to those people that keep everything stored inside and think, I'll just figure it out on my own? Because that's an obvious issue that I think a lot of people walk around like, oh, why do people care enough about me or whatever? So what would you think about the people that really hold all this in? And what's the problem with holding all this stuff in and trying to figure it out on your own?
Yeah. So you know what? We're not meant to do this life alone. Number one, we are not meant to do it alone. And I will also say the best connections, the best relationship, and the best growth or advancement comes when people start sharing more of their vulnerabilities in safe spaces. Mm. So we connect through vulnerability. Like, you and I have had so many good conversations over like a decade that brought us closer because we share fun and we share pain points too. And the pain points are like, you go through that? Yeah, I go through that too. And we connect through vulnerability. We don't connect through just everyone sharing about like their highlight reel, because that's not real life. So it's like, when you sit down and you realize someone else went through it, you realize you're not alone. So I want to make that preface. Like, we connect more through vulnerability than we do stating our accolades. Mm-hmm. And then the hard part is it's hard. And even for myself, I am in a role where I love serving people. So it's sometimes still hard to ask for help. But what I've realized over the years is I couldn't grow. I literally, like, there was a point where I was like, gosh, why haven't I been able to whatever it is that I want to? And I was like, well, Dar, it's because you haven't asked for help on this. Yeah. And the moment I started saying, hey, I need help on this, I don't have the skill set in this, or I'm not sure strategically how to go with this, it was like people came out of the woodwork to want to help. And it made me realize what I knew people want to help more than you realize. They just don't know how. They don't know what you need. And I will say, people often think, well, Dar doesn't need any help because, you know, she knows all this stuff. No, I know my lane of mindset. Outside of that, there's a lot of things I do not know. And it's also, you need someone from the outside to look in because it's hard sometimes to help yourself.
Yep.
So people want to help. So I want people to understand that just by voicing it, you will get people showing up.
I love that. I think that that's big. I can relate to that a little bit of like, some people feel like, you know, whether they're extra empathetic or think they're an empath or just want to be that healer, that they need to always be playing that role. And I think it's so important to make sure that you're filling up your own cup.
Yeah.
And hearing that from you, I think, is very comforting to hear. I mean, this is an expert that likes to have the answer or help give people a blueprint to be able to help themselves out of setbacks, that we all deal with that. And I think that's a comforting thing for people to be able to hear.
And I'll just add this too. In October, my father passed. And right before he passed, I got in my car and I just FaceTimed him. And he all of a sudden got this infection and started to get sick. And he was in and out of it. And I was able to play a song that on FaceTime, it brought him to. And so we started having a conversation. And I knew at that moment, once he went, that was the last moment I'd hear him. And he was like saying, and I said, I love you, Dad. And he said, I love you, Dar. And I knew, Jason, I was like, holy cow, like, that's, I think, the last time I'm going to be able to see or hear my dad. And when I flew home, he was already, we were bringing him to hospice and he was out of it. But I got in the car and I literally went on camera and I just said, I think I just had the last conversation with my father. And I start crying. And I've never done this on social media, but I was like, I'm doing this to say, I hurt just like you. And most people think like, I'm fine. And yes, I bounce back faster and I'll turn this around. But there are just times where you don't have the answers. And then I taught something from that. But it was that I can't tell you how much feedback and love and support, because I could have just hid that.
Yeah.
Then my dad passed. I never brought it up, but I use my platform to teach. And I was like, this is a teachable moment because I've never felt this like this. But man, that power of vulnerability is so real, because there's times where I'm like, I'm hurting and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, this is Big Dreams. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you all for listening to today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. Please follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Manhood Experiment. There, you'll find the latest giveaways and some very funny behind-the-scenes moments. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, I think we all feel that.
Yeah.
And so vulnerability, I think that I saw a lot of it in the book. You know, like I said, I've known you for a decade and there's things that I didn't know. And that, I'm also thinking like, gosh, I'm a bad friend. I should have known more of these things about you.
No.
Maybe I was talking about my own problems too much. Let's dive in. You know, we talked a little bit about your background. I want to just talk, like, how did we get from that origin story to what led you to writing the book? I mean, I know you're a therapist. Let's talk a little bit about the work you were actually doing as an occupational therapist, working with people in really challenging states, and how that led you to where you were in the timing of the book and when it came out and why the book's timeless. But take it from here.
So I start out occupational therapy, taking care of traumatic brain injury patients. Like, it was the gift of a lifetime to start there, because you're helping people like you or I. Car accident happens, motorcycle, like, their life has changed. Like, we had the most severe patients and my job was to help them come alongside cognitively, physically, mentally, come back, overcome. Like the 30 for 30s, that was what we were trying to do. Overcome the most extreme odds. Gave me the basis for the rest of my life, like literally. And ironically, you asked what made this book. Well, my life story ended up making this book because, one, I help people bounce back from adversity. But at 25, here I was working on the stroke and brain injury unit. I'd gone to see a chiropractor. Freak thing happens. They manipulated my neck and they ripped the artery to my brain. And it literally, I'm bleeding, but I don't know I'm bleeding in the brain. And I was married at the time. We had just bought the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. We're going to start a family. I'm Italian and I was an athlete. My ex was. I'm like, we're going to have this sick athlete. You think all these things in your head, you know? And as life would have it, that blood clot that tear of the artery left the blood clot in my brain. And so they told me, Dart, we can't get to this and you could die any day. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? I was like, no. I help the people that go through this. Like, I'm not supposed to go through this. So fast forward, I make my way obviously through this, but it causes a lot of challenges along the way. But what happened was when I was told I could die any day, I was like, well, sugar, I want to go live. So everything they kept saying, like, no, you can't do this. I was like, hell no. I want to change the world. I want to do this. And it just set me off on this path of like, how big and how far can I reach people? Which led me on this journey, was running companies, helping businesses. And then that's why I was in the recession. Like, I was like, I'm going to start my practice and I'm going to get to people and I'm going to do it in a way that I feel like is going to really help people. And that's what started it. And just as kind of luck and faith would have it, I'm out there speaking for free, like crazy out there. I'm so focused on mindset. And then it just started developing where people were coming, CEOs, athletes, and it just, that's how the business started to grow. And I think I'm hitting my stride. And then I have my second stroke about 6 years ago. And I have to bounce back from that. It wasn't as major as the third one, because then I get back and I hit my stride again. And I'm with the Phoenix Suns and I'm traveling everywhere with them. And the season ends and I have this headache like I had never had before. And by the way, that was at the time when I was starting to write the book, but the book was called Awakening Greatness. I wanted to write about the patterns of greatness. And so I'm like traveling with the Suns, I'm writing all this content, and then I have my third stroke and it is the worst. I mean, it takes away my speech, my fine motor, my balance. I'm like, what the, you know, you're kind of like in those moments in life where we've all been there. Like, you know how things are going and all of a sudden, boom, it hits. And then you get up and you go again and boom, it hits. And you're like, no different than the players that I was just coaching where one of the guys, ACL tear, comes back, next one, ACL tear on the other leg. You know, this is just life. But I say that because this book then ended up, I was giving up on writing. And then that's when my agent called and she's like, why are you making playing God so small? Like, you're supposed to write this. I'm like, I can't even read right now. Like, what?
Yeah.
So sure enough, someone gives me a chance and they're like, you help people bounce back all the time. And now you're doing it in a way that is so hard. But by this point, Jason, I had already had like years of all these tools. Mm-hmm. And so it was the hardest and tough, you know, it's like being here in summer trying to recover and you can't get outside. Yeah. But I had the tools. So I bounced back faster than anyone would have ever expected, even myself. But that's how this got started. And then I started putting all these principles down to paper going, oh, there is actually like a formula that I use with people.
Yep.
Here's what it is. And then this is my way. Because people are like, you're literally giving away your plan, like the secret sauce, so to speak. I was like, to me, life is about giving it away. Yep. Like, I'm going to not be here someday. So everyone take it, use it. Go create greatness with it. And that to me is what it's all about, because I don't know when this runway ends.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, what an absolutely incredible story. And I mean, that's like you said, for you to have the tools. I mean, my grandpa had a stroke and the whole left side of his body, he had to learn how to use all this other side of the body over again. And it's devastating. And so, I mean, you can't think anything else than, I mean, this was meant to be.
Totally.
And you were meant to rise to the occasion and raise the bar to a whole new level, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible. And wow. So, I mean, that is something. Yeah, that's something I think about when I think about you, is raising the bar, leveling up, raising the bar. That's a term that the first person I ever heard say that was you. Tell me, because I see that in the tone of kind of the narrative of how you're lifting people up. Like, what does that mean to you when you think about raising the bar?
Yeah. I'm so passionate about this because people, when they often hear me say like raise the bar, level up, and I get people going like, Dar, I can't add another thing on. What are you talking about? And I'll say, I'm not asking you to do more. I'm asking you to do what you do really well.
Yep.
Like, if everyone just showed up better, if they raise the bar on their standards, their effort, their attitude, their EQ, their grittiness, their ability to like dive in and do some more personal development work. But like, if whatever we do, we just commit to hold the standard high, and not drop it because it's easy or it's convenient, we're going to raise the vibration of everyone around us. And that's what I love, what Michael Jordan did, Kobe did, you know, the greats, Serena Williams. Like, you're around people that their standards here, you rise up to it. You don't fall to it. Mm-hmm. You rise up to it. So, you know, I've been going around speaking around the world, sharing this because I want people, like, when you walk in the room, Jason, there is no way in hell someone's going to have a bad day. Like, we're around you. It's like happy. You're going to be healthy. Your energy, like everything around you, is contagious. And it's a raise the bar effect. Like, people raise the bar around you because you're bringing that. Like, we're winning when we're around you. Yeah. We're totally winning in life. And so I want more people to feel that, and they have that capability, but it's a mindset. So if everyone would just be intentional about that, don't do more, just do what you do really well, and then you could add to it. And be that person that does that for other people.
That gives me goosebumps, because it's like you realized you had this gift because you saw it in the world prior to maybe stroke number one, but stroke number two, stroke number three. And it would be so easy to say, oh, I'm going to take it easy because I don't know what triggered that, or I'm just going to I'm going to sit back and play it safe. And for you to push forward and take your ship out of the harbor and drive because you don't know, time is limited and you want to get the most out of it. And you keep going up on a bigger stage and a bigger stage and leveling up. And more people are hearing this message. And that's why I'm so excited to share this message. And the book is an amazing thing, whether people have experienced a profound setback or maybe are identifying blind spots that maybe are setbacks that they weren't aware of. And so we talk about how you had the tools because you were familiar to using this. And these tools, which, you know, essentially I think are also your principles in this book, are a big part of the path of kind of that journey. We talked about your hero's journey, and this is kind of the journey that I imagine you worked with in a client. So if you don't mind, you know, I'd love to take a little sneak peek into some of the chapters. I think a few of them that stood out to me more, we can take a couple minutes on, but the 9 principles, I think there's a really good visual.
Yeah, circle.
I got the book here, but the circle, for those of you on the video, I don't know, it's on page 160. Here it is right here. So if you can imagine this visual, you can explain it probably better than I can, but help people that are listening explain how these 9 principles go together.
So I put it in a circle because, like, life's not linear. And what's going to happen is adversity is going to come. The first chapter is like, embrace the suck. You have to embrace it in order to deal with it. Until you embrace it, we cannot move from it. Like I said, you can't reach your greatness. So I get people and we walk through it, we stand by it, we embrace it. And as you start going through the process, these principles, you start to realize there's some flow with this. But say you get all the way, you're like through number like 6, then something triggers you. Something sets you back. You may have to go back to principle 2 and understand your hard wiring and understand, like, go back to your confidence card that I tell you about, because your confidence just got knocked down. So you have to go back, get that principle, and then circle around, you know, second, third, you know, to your home run. Circle the bases there. So just know there's an ebb and a flow to this process, and nothing is just point A to point B. Life is like spaghetti. It's all over the place. So, and that's why there's always that expression, learn to surf the waves. That is so much this. You're surfing through this. And you know how the waves take you out and then they bring you forward?
I was surfing those waves this morning, baby.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
So it's so much about, like, learning to surf this and flow and ebb and flow with it. Not to be so in a fixed mindset that you're like, I've got to get from here to here and I got to turn the page and I got to move on. Let this do what it's supposed to do in your spirit and in your mind and transform you. Because when you let it do what it's supposed to, I'm telling you, when the next hit comes, you are more solid on solid ground. You're mentally more resilient. You're grittier. You understand and you go, oh, I know what I need to do right now. Let me go back and remember, I may have lost my job. I may have lost, you know, in the relationship, but darn it, my gifts and my talents didn't get taken away. Like, I still get to bring that to the table, which means I could go find another job or I could use my talent a different way. So I give you the tools to stand back up on solid ground.
Oh, I love it. And so, if we start out, number 1 is embracing the suck, which I want to dive into that a little bit. And then it goes full circle into turning the page. And so you can see how we go through all these different stages. So embracing the suck, like, based on what you're saying there, I could take from, I was just thinking of a couple scenarios. Let's say you're overwhelmed with so much to do.
Right.
Like, you need to embrace that. I see how you can reframe that.
Totally.
It's the same thing. And then maybe you're
embracing
the suck that you just feel like it's monotony. You're stuck in this moment type of thing. Let's just pause on that for a moment, because I think outside looking in, embracing the suck, I'd say, well, how do we jumpstart you if you're low on fuel? Because if I was overwhelmed, I can embrace the suck and be like, oh, I'm blessed that I'm overwhelmed with these opportunities, even if they're low hanging fruit opportunities or whatever. But if I'm low on gas and I don't know what my next step is, like, how do I embrace the suck in that? And because I think that's a moment that a lot of people went through during this mess that happened a couple years ago and so on.
I think sometimes, like in that scenario where you are so overwhelmed, it is actually acknowledging there is way too much right now, and I'm going to have to probably cut something out. Like, I've got to pause. I've got to catch my breath. It might just be like, darn it, I just need damn sleep. Like, I've got to embrace this so overwhelming. But if I would just get sleep tonight, I'd have a better mental faculty to understand the next day. So embracing, instead of adding another thing on and another thing on to make yourself more and more overwhelmed, stop for a second, get some clarity of thought, embrace this sucks, it's not working, and do a mental check-in. Is it that I didn't get sleep? Is it that I committed to something I should have said no to, but I said yes to because I was people-pleasing?
Yeah.
You know, like, find out what it is and then take one action to catch your breath at that moment.
Like,
or it could just be making a phone call to someone to say, I need 10 minutes. I don't need you to solve it. I just need to vent this out right now, get it out so I could breathe for a second. And then maybe you want to hear a solution to it. But sometimes just embracing it is sitting with it to identify clarity of what's next.
Yeah, and creating that space. So, like, when I think of embracing the suck, I think that's kind of micro, and cultivating grit, which is another principle, is kind of macro section of like training that mind muscle.
Right.
And those are a couple things that I think in reality, our generation has gotten a little soft right now. And so people are putting themselves through challenges, resistance training and cold water and saunas and all these different things. And I think that's a reminder in this that we have to train ourselves. The reason we go and we work out is to come back and be stronger and more resilient. And I think that if we can learn to charge in towards those challenging situations and we can develop that grit and that muscle, and we can become stronger and I think bigger than those situations. And so I love, like, those parts really got me excited. I just reread Grit by Angela Duckworth.
Yes, so good.
Because it has a big section on parenting and how we can build that resilience. So I'm going to touch on a few other. I know we're limited on time, but so you got understanding who you are, seeking and applying feedback, which we talked about. I love the idea of the confidence card. And so the confidence card is great because I think that when you're down and out, that's something you can call on. Like, I've been through a situation before and I've risen to the occasion. These are some things that are great about me. If you guys want to dive into more of that, you can, but I want to be selfish here and pick your brain on a couple other things. So discovering your why power. I love this. I talk about this with health, like why power is better than willpower because willpower is limited supply.
Exactly.
Now, I, because of reading your book, we did a topic. We covered building a mission statement. We talked about what our personal mission statement is. And this just gets me fired up that, like, if we can think about what our mission statement is, that plays into our why power. Your mission statement, extremely powerful. My why is to inspire, empower, and awaken greatness in myself and others globally.
Yeah.
And I loved the story of a client that you worked with about the adding value thing. So let's talk just quickly, I know, just a minute on yours and then the adding value thing. Like, tell that quick story because I thought that was super inspirational.
So just quickly, when you write your mission statement, you think of, like, what's one core value word that you want to stand on? Like, where it's your 100th birthday and we're toasting to you. What was the theme of your lifetime? Because that's basically what your mission is going to be. It's like your anthem. If your 30 for 30 episode was being played out, I hope my anthem is Dar awaken greatness in people. Like, that's what I hope the 30 for 30 is. And then everything around that. So in saying that, I teach people through the exercise on how to get there in the book. And so mine is awakening greatness because essentially I was like, I help people believe in themselves, achieve, but I had to come down to the word, which was greatness. And I want people to show up as their greatest version because then the world gets better if everyone's showing up that way. So I'm taking this CEO through this exercise, and he sits and he's like, darn, my words value. And I said, tell me more. And he's like, as we work through this, he goes, I started to realize I want to be able to encourage, implement, and add value everywhere I go. So when I walk in my house and I see my wife, am I adding value to her life? I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so good. He's like, when I see my kids, did I add value to their life? When I walk into the office and lead this company, did I add value to this company today? Mm-hmm. Like now, he goes, even to the point where if I'm in the Starbucks line and I'm talking to someone, did I add value to their life even in that conversation? I want people to understand this. When you live, I've done so much of this, like people get so juiced up when this clicks for them because now you show up with an intention that is leading you every day versus Monday's Tuesday, Tuesday's Wednesday, you know, 2023's 2024. Now you have intention because you know your why. Man, life gets better and you understand like when you're in adversity, why are you doing this? This is why.
Yep. Oh, I love it. I think it's such an amazing reminder. I think that there's something there, whether people are going to have a little keychain or necklace or that reminder just to be able to keep rehearsing that over their heads. But I love that whole section. Yeah. So I really encourage people to get that book and dive into that section and do that little homework assignment that's in there. We got creating your bounce back environment. I think this is huge because I think too many people just kind of leave things to chance and just deal. This is the environment that I have. And I think we have to take responsibility for that. There's a lot there. Then big time, I wanted to pause on the emotional intelligence thing. This EQ over IQ type of thing is a hot topic, just like mental health is. And I think I loved that you broke down the building blocks to emotional intelligence. And we talk about learning to control our emotions, not let them control us, getting ourselves to neutral. So I thought that that was a really, really, really cool section. That's something we can develop too.
Totally.
I think some people are born with a certain level of IQ. But I think that's one thing that I like is that we certainly can develop that with time. Have you noticed that or example, I guess, developing?
Oh, for sure. Like this is why I want people to understand, like you have the chance to be the pro. Mm-hmm. You have the chance to be great. And like part of it is be an emotionally intelligent person that has awareness when they walk in the room. Like read the room, people. Mm-hmm. Know what energy should you be bringing at that moment? How's it going? Know how you and your interactions and your emotions are going to play to that room to add value or not, you know? And emotionally neutral leaders doesn't mean that they don't feel, they just know when to bring it and when not to. And like a quarterback in the pocket has to stay neutral to get the play done. We need to be like that in life. And you will be a trusted leader, spouse, friend, when you could start to decrease the volatility and increase the neutrality of your emotions in those big moments. And then just general awareness of who you are, how you show up, read the room.
Love it. All right, we got a couple more, then we're going to wrap things up. So that takes us into the reframing setbacks, which you've seen an example with Dar, how she reframed these setbacks. And I think you as a listener, put yourself in that situation. This is your movie that you're watching. You're writing the script. Maybe this is the part that things get interesting right here. You know, is this the time to be able to have your comeback, your triumphant story? Cultivating grit, can't get enough of this stuff. I think the world would be a better place if we just had more grit, obviously, with our kids that we're raising and becoming the world that we're living in. And then turning the page. So y'all are going to have to pick up this book and dive in. There's so many actionable steps that is amazing about this. And then even at the end of the book, you got a little QR code that you can scan and it's a reminder of how you implement this. So the book summarizes at the end all the different implementing points because you get these people, you go to a course, you go to Tony Robbins, you do this, you're jazzed up, but it's all about implementation, putting this into a practice, things you can do, do daily here. And I love that you break that down a little bit. So before we send people and break this all down, I want to see, first off, what are you, the book's obviously keeping you busy. I know you're getting busy with speaking again. Outside of speaking, what is exciting you right now? Like, what are you excited about and what are you working on? And where can people find more of Coach Dar?
So there's about to be a lot of growth happening in the next year of impact and reach and how I'll be able to help people and give them these tools more readily. So stay on the lookout. A lot of things are growing from this. And, you know, you could find me. My website's coachdar.com, Instagram, thecoachdar, Twitter, all that stuff. So, but if you go to coachdar.com, it has all the info on it. You could find me there. and where I might be speaking or showing up. But I just am so grateful to have this time to be here with you and share these nuggets. And thanks so much for taking the time to read this and giving me the opportunity to share this with your audience.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Absolutely. My pleasure. So one thing we do on all of our shows, we break people down with an experiment, something they can take away, put into action. I figure I'll make this easy for you. I got a few suggestions, but let me let you pick. Yeah. So I was thinking either it could be something on feedback. It could be the building endurance. I love that part of grit. Mm-hmm. It could be the confidence card. You're a national, mm-hmm. a global ambassador of Pay It Forward. So you get to choose. What do we want to leave our listeners with as an experiment they can put into action?
I actually would love, because I know it's the most challenging for people to do the feedback.
Yep.
Like if you could just do weekly with whether it's work at home or with your friendship circle or even self-inventory, you know, where you are, ask yourself weekly, if you don't want to do it daily, how did I show up? So you could start by how did I show up this week? And then say, wherever the number is, how could you do better? Or if it's at a good number, what made it great? Why did you show up so well? And if you didn't, what are the changes you can make? So ask yourself this feedback. How'd I show up in this relationship? How'd I show up at work? Or how'd I show up for this day if you're doing self-inventory? Mm. But I would love the experiment to be for 30 days, you know, or 4 weeks, depending on how you're doing it, that you did this test to yourself to start leaning into getting feedback more consistently.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's on. Yeah. That's an assignment right here. You heard it. I'm certainly going to put that. I like it. Even if it's the self-inventory, I think my challenge is like try that in two or three different categories. So it could be relationships. It could be your health.
Yes.
It could be with business or work. And I think that everybody's going to get something extremely valuable from that. So this time was extremely valuable. I really appreciate your time. I know you've been super, super busy, but this has been so special to catch up. I've been smiling the whole time. So thank you so much to all y'all tuning in. I appreciate all of you. And until the next time, it's Manhood Experiment. We out.
Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.